Everyone thinks that I'm just this great, phenomenal leader and preacher. I'm not. I just know how to use momentum probably really, really well. Momentum is a great example. Momentum is contagious. People are attracted to momentum.
This is the Church Growth Nation Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is Ross Turner. I'm the owner of the Vibrant Agency, and we've got Chris Songston, the main man, the founder of Church Boom and the pastor of the South Hills Churches in Southern California. What's up, Chris?
Oh, man. Having a great day, man. How about you, buddy?
You sitting right in front of the beach again like usual?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Why would I leave?
Yeah. So you literally wake up every morning and just... You're on the sand. That's just the front door.
I don't know about the sand, but we sit on a little bit of a cliff. But yeah, there's nothing between us and the water.
Is it loud? Is it like, I've heard people that live on the water say it's a little too loud.
For us, you have to get used to it. The first few months we were here, I was like, man, this is driving me nuts. People think, Oh, it's just this beautiful wave. And I'm like, no, We're so close. It's like, you know, you hear it, man. It never stops. It constantly hear waves 24/7.
Let me tell you guys, Jason is who we're talking to today. And Jason, is it Hanash?
Jason Hanash, yep.
Jason is the founding pastor of Discovery Church in Bakersfield, and they have other couple campuses. And I was shocked at the point in the conversation when he says every year they're increasing by 25 to 50%. I mean, is he lying? That's crazy.
Well, he's being coached by Church Boom, so no, he's not lying.
Nice.
That's what we
do. They're crushing it. They are doing an awesome job.
Here's a shameless plug for the Church Boom. The average person that engaged with us last year, their average gross was 35.5%.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Boom.
Church Boom. I love it. You guys are in for a treat. We talk about volunteer culture and not only like riding momentum, but creating it in the first place. So you guys are in for a treat. Check it out. This is my man, Jason. Enjoy. Jason, man, tell us a little bit about Discovery Church. Tell us a little bit about the beautiful, beautiful land of Bakersfield. And how long you guys been going on?
We've been doing Discovery for now about 5.5 years, launched 5.5 years ago. And from the very beginning, it was apparent that God was at work, man, and snowballed it from a house into a leased warehouse, office space, and to kind of where we're at currently, leasing a space. So right now, just on Easter Sunday, we just surpassed the 2,000 mark for the very first time, 2,300 people plus, and man, it's just been growing. We have 4 campuses now in 2 cities, and we're not slowing down either. So it's been an amazing ride, been tons of fun.
What you got with 2 cities? What do you mean?
Well, we're in Ventura County. We have a campus in Camarillo, and then we have 3 campuses here in Bakersfield.
Are they satellite campuses, or what do you got?
You know what we do? Our multi-site strategy is around vision, culture, and our systems and strategies are the same. So we even share teaching series, but we actually have live teaching and lead pastors, lead campus pastors at every campus, and it makes it so fun. And there's a lot of creative synergy that happens between the different leadership and personalities of our campus pastors. The unique thing about it is it allows for the voice of the leader to be unique and to reach their specific community.
Yeah. Now, do you rotate between the campuses, or do you just stay at the main one?
No, I'm not at Songston status. That's what I call it, Songston status.
Oh, my gosh.
Here we go.
Here we go. Rotate and spend a lot of time at the beach and stuff. I'm not there. What I do, I actually pastor. No, I'm just kidding. Chris,
I'm a pastor.
I campus the Southwest campus, which is our kind of our original campus, the starting campus. That's where I pastor in Southwest. The others have, lead campus pastors as well, but I primarily here. We rotate, though, about 3 to 4 times a year. We will rotate and have a campus pastor in a different campus just so that they can see and hear the different voices and leadership in our network.
Yeah. How did you and Chris hook up?
You know what? Chris has been just a huge blessing. I think it was at Catalyst West Conference 1 year. It was through just a mutual friend that introduced me. I was just a starting out church planter, had pie in the sky dreams, and Chris Songson was able to just to offer just an opportunity to poke his brain a little bit over coffee. I had my worship pastor with me. I still remember it. Me and the worship pastor were just taking notes like crazy, and Chris was just dropping some great gold and wisdom on us as just fresh starting this work. And it just from there, I knew I needed this guy in my life, man. So he's been my coach for 5 years now.
Man, that's awesome. That's cool. Chris, tell me, like, from your perspective, what's been some of the key things that's helped Discovery be so successful?
Well, Jason, I mean, look at him.
he says it's the beard.
Yeah, it's like he's, you know, the whole Star Is Born with Bradley Cooper. It was a choice between Bradley Cooper and Jason Hanasch, but last minute they went with Bradley Cooper. Now, yeah, he's quite the stud. No, a couple things I look, one is I've always appreciated Jason's hunger. You know, there's one thing I always say about coaching. I don't work with those that need it. I work with those who want it. And Jason definitely wants it, wants to grow. He's hungry. He takes notes. He really wants to develop. I think there's that simplicity. From the very beginning, he understood the importance of creating a strategy that made sense. And I think that's been an important part of it. I think a lot of guys miss that, that strategy portion. You know, I always tell pastors that if you worry about your heart and you worry about the hustle, God will take care of the harvest. And it's the heart and the hustle that Jason has always had that has helped him so much.
Taking a note right there.
There you go. But Jason, you've created, if I could take a little bit of a left there, Ross, is one thing you guys have done real well, and I thought Ross and I could dive into a little bit, is you've managed to create some great momentum. And I think that you've continued to create that momentum, not only is your heart and your hustle and God takes care of the harvest, but you've also created momentum, not only in the beginning, but you've done it year after year after year. And there's a lot of people that are listening that, man, they got great hearts. They love Jesus. They want to reach people. And what could we share with them? What's some of the stuff that you've learned, you know, that I think would be great for all of us to hear on how do you create that momentum? Let's start with that. How do you create momentum?
Yeah, man. I think with momentum is so key. Over the years, we've grown by either, you know, 25 to 50% every year, and so we've grown
crazy
because we've really, I think, just I don't know if it was intentional or not, but throughout the years, we kind of stumbled into some things and said, "Wow, this is great." When you think about momentum, I think has three different aspects to it. You can capitalize on momentum. It's inherent within culture, within seasons, within just the flow of life. You can capitalize, you can create, and you can continue. Those three things are the momentum. If you can do those three things, capitalize, create, and continue or sustain momentum, then you can have long-term exponential effects of momentum. And so momentum, I mean, it does a lot of, Maxwell says momentum is the great exaggerator. It makes everything look better. It makes you look better, sound better. Everyone thinks that I'm just this great, phenomenal leader and preacher. I'm not. I just know how to use momentum probably really, really well. Momentum is a great momentum is contagious. People are attracted to momentum. Momentum brings opportunity to change easily. Like you can, when you have momentum, you can shift. You can make shifts and changes in how you do things, and even leadership, and something you want to launch that's new. Even when you have momentum, everything is easier with momentum on your side. So three things: capitalize, create, and continue. So with capitalizing momentum, I think the way that we can do this is with the inherent opportunities that are there. So there are big days that are big. Easter is always going to be the biggest day of your church's year. Why not capitalize on Easter and put, instead of like stretching out your marketing dollars and all your energy and resources and plans, why not put it in the most the biggest day that has the biggest return? So Easter and Christmas, for a lot of us, those are our biggest days. That is a big day that you can capitalize on really well. And somewhere in the August, September is the fall upswing that a lot of churches can see from the change of season and back to school, you know, because of summer. And then depending on your geography, demographic and culture, New Year's and Mother's Day could be great opportunities to capitalize on momentum as well. But when you know that momentum is seasonal and you can see the seasons of your demographic, of your area, and really lean into and capitalize on that momentum leading into and out of it, then it's really going to help upswing the momentum of the church and the congregation. I mean, that's how we've kind of capitalized on momentum at Discovery. And then we've created momentum where, and I think it was Rick Warren who said that it's momentum is like surfing spiritual waves. We don't create the waves, we just ride the waves. God creates the waves. I think he's right in a lot of ways, but in some ways, you have to, as a leader, know how to inspire and move people and generate momentum. So momentum takes a lot of work, takes a lot of energy. I think in a lot of churches, we have to resurrect momentum. So you have to prioritize the effort and don't get caught up looking at just the end results. But the way that we've created momentum, like in our summer slump, we had in the summer, for a lot of churches, there's that down attendance in the summer, people are on vacation and stuff. We decided to create a sermon series that a lot of churches are doing right now, but we do it in the summer at the movies, sermon series in the summer intentionally to generate interest, generate invites, and to create some momentum. And it actually is one of our biggest and most well-attended series of all the year, that it rivals even, it's not gonna rival your big days, but it is the best attended series all year we have in the middle of summer. And that just creates some great momentum in the middle of our summer. And then, you know, we got, to sustain or continue, you know, momentum is now, what do you do, which a lot of leaders don't think about this. They don't think about what after, you know, it's easier to keep people excited about something at the starting line, but it takes a lot of focus and passion to sustain momentum through the finish line. And the toughest time to maintain momentum is in the middle. That's when the vision becomes vulnerable, that we need to spend more time investing in the strategy of the middle and what happens after Easter Sunday. I tell our team that the Sunday after Easter is just as important as Easter Sunday. People are going to come back and they're going to wonder, was that a show, a production, or is this church for real? And some churches pull out all the stops and they have all these specials and musicians and fire and stuff like that. And they come back next Sunday and the choir is back on the stage it's just not the same experience. So we got to make sure that we sustain and continue momentum after our big days that we're creating.
Yeah. You know, let me say something about that is Easter, Christmas, maybe Mother's Day, Father's Day, whatever, those built-in big Sundays are worth going all in. Like for the churches that we help on a marketing level, they'll spend 70% of their budget on a huge mailer on Easter or huge Facebook, Instagram ad campaign. But the thing that you said about the At the Movie series is I think that is a truly untapped thing. At the Movies is a series that somebody thought of that worked, and now everybody and their mom is copying it, right? And what happened, what's unique is you just invented a new big Sunday. each one of those. You got the Star Wars, you got all those. And now you have something that wasn't there before, but now in July, you can have a big Sunday that could give you a spike in attendance, new people. But the thing that I think people are not tapping into is just like new tech companies should be inventing new phones and advancing those ideas. We have the opportunity to experiment with and think of sermon series that are so next level that they create their own big Sunday. And I think that if churches would kind of view them, their tap into their entrepreneurial mind and be like, okay, At the Movies works, but we've got 30 other weeks that we need to focus on, and we could have a sermon series, and somebody comes up with something that's local to their city, like, you know, Bakersfield Nights, or, you know, in your situation, or something that's a series that creates something that they want. You know, because I found a lot of people, you know, when it comes to sales, if you are trying to sell a big product like a home, okay, if you're real trying to sell a home, usually an ad like buy this $300,000 home, that's a huge ask. But a small ask is come to this open house. And you're more likely to get yeses if you ask for smaller things. So you've got a guy out there, hey, here's an ad, come to our church and become a Christian. That's a massive ask. But maybe there's a guy that's like, hey, come to this two-day series on marriage, free tips and counseling, and they need that. That's a smaller ask, and then you kind of start a sermon series that's something you can start throwing marketing dollars behind, because it's like a way to get people in the door. I mean, Chris, what do you think about that?
I love it. I think I love what you're saying, Ross. I love what you said, Jason, as well, about, matter of fact, I wrote it down, and i.e. it will be in my next book, is momentum in the middle. You know, we live often from the peaks. We live in the peaks, but we don't ever think about where the momentum is in the middle. How do we keep that going? And so I think what you're talking about, Ross, is, okay, so what about the series and how can we get creative? And I think that's an important part. You know, I always say that we don't have the luxury of one Super Bowl. Everybody thinks Easter is Super Bowl. We don't have that luxury. We have 52. Mm. And so you got to hit it out of the park every week. You know, one thing I always tell people all the time is put on something worth coming to. You know, it doesn't mean you need to have lights and shows and everything like that, but it's like, man, think, get creative. What could you do? What would hit home? Is there a Facebook ad that's just like, man, having trouble in marriage? We think, you know, here's some thoughts that could help you. Click, they go through, come to a two-week series, three-week series, like you said, Ross, on marriage or whatever. But the point is that you're hitting home with things that are real. You're asking for the small ask, I think is such an important thing. And also, it is a lot easier to invite someone to something that is, hey, we're doing something that may help your marriage. I can invite my next door neighbor to that versus just come to church for a typical Sunday. I have no idea what the pastor's talking about, but just come with, you know, which most pastors, you know, whatever. But it just makes it a lot easier for your people when you're trying to create an invite culture if you actually give them an easy win. So yeah. I think those are I think all of what is being said here about that. And then again, just the momentum concept. Well, we know momentum is the best friend, but man, I always love to say that building momentum is one thing. Sustaining, I think, can even be harder. Because once you lose it, man, you know, I say all the time, man, if you push a rock uphill and decide to take a break, the rock won't.
That's right.
it'll always come right back down on you. So you keep on pushing, because that's what momentum is. And that's not about wearing yourself out, because you're going to kill your team if you're just living from hype to hype to hype. But it's about finding a rhythm that creates momentum without killing your team at the same time.
Yeah, that's a key word there, rhythm. We use that a lot here at Discovery Church. And finding, and every church leader area is going to have a unique rhythm. And you have to find your stride and find your rhythm. I love the idea here of using the sermon series. I mean, what if we took what we do on Easter, on Christmas, and we just kind of utilized a lot of the same thought process and creativity for your week ones of your sermon series? And so here at Discovery, we have a marketing plan that we use for all of our series. Week one is a launch for us. We launch week one, and then something we learn from one of our gold nuggets from Chris Songson there in Church Boom, the coaching network there, is getting your irregular attenders, because I know that a lot of people, you have, you know, your church is maybe 200, 300, 400, 500 in size, but really you say, if, you know, if everyone had come to church on the same Sunday, it would be 1,000 people. Oh, we'd have 1,000 people. And really, so what if you can create that type of momentum and engagement that the people that attend your church maybe six times or you know, one time a month can attend two, or attend two times a month, they attend three. You create momentum by the frequency of them attending your church. It is a tangible, noticeable upswing if you can somehow tap into your sermon series in a rhythm of engagement or attraction that you're getting people to come again to church is another way to bring them.
Yeah, and we actually suggest with a lot of our churches, we take a sermon series in week one, we make an actual Facebook event, you know, launching the whatever series on March 14th, and we, you know, put a couple $100 behind boosting that event. And if it's a marriage series, you boost it towards people who are married in your area or engaged or something like that. And you show it, you exclude the people who already are followers or active engagers with your church. So you're more likely to be showing it to people who don't go to the church already. So we're fishing for the right people. And I think that could really be a huge thing.